Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions. Whether you need a new warehouse line, hedging, or are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Hello, everybody. This is Dave Lincoln. Welcome to Lincoln on Lending. It is Monday. Beautiful Monday in New York City. We're here at the Hilton Conference Center attending the National Mortgage Bankers MBA Conference, and we are just excited to have you here. So, folks, stay tuned. We've got a wonderful program. We've got some wonderful guests, and we're going to be talking about Senate Bill 3217, and we're going to be talking a lot about things going on. We've got special guests. We've got Ralph Armenta coming on the microphone. Here, I'm standing here looking at him, and I can't wait to get some of his comments and get his flavor, what's going on here. But as we do each week, as we start this program, we are going to go right into the rate segment. Joe Farr, thank you so much for bringing us the rates.
Hi, Dave. I'm not in New York, but I kind of wish I were, because there's a lot going on in the secondary market. Today, so far, we've drifted a little bit lower. We started the morning up a little bit and drifted a little lower. The movement lower started to occur about the same time the existing home sales came out, and a little bit of a surprise to the upside on home sales. Came in at an annual rate of 5.77 million units, where about 5.65 was expected, which is, you know, better than expected, better than last month, and a whole lot better than this time last year. And I think we can attribute a lot of that benefit to the home buyer tax credit. But we'll see. You know, existing home sales continue strong, I think, in May and June as people work through those contracts and meet the June 30th deadline. But so good home sales, markets unchanged from where it ended the day Friday. But boy, the last few weeks we have had a tremendous improvement in mortgage rates.
We sure have.
Yeah, each of the last 4 weeks, Dave, we've seen mortgage rates improve somewhat to where the sum of those 4 weeks is about 50 basis points. Maybe not quite there, but just about 50 basis points. And I think we can attribute most of that to uncertainty. We've got a lot of that working right now with things going on in Europe, concern about the European debt situation, concerns in the fact that China has said that they're going to tighten their monetary policy, which means that their growth rate and their demand for goods and services from us may go down. And then we're going to talk about it a lot more later, but financial reform and its impact on banking, and boy, it's hard to know what to do in a banking environment when the rules are being changed so often as they are these days. Those amounts of uncertainty combined with a very low inflation rate, as was confirmed both by CPI and PPI last week and then by the Fed minutes of their prior meeting, all made for an environment which caused people to seek the safety of mortgage-backed securities, government-guaranteed mortgage-backed securities, and we saw a sell-off in the stock market. But a result of all this is positive for the mortgage market in that the rates are very, very low.
That is encouraging.
We have up for this coming week, not near the economic news as we had last week with the CPI and PPI report, but we do have durable orders coming out on Wednesday along with new home sales. That'll be interesting to see if they're keeping pace with existing home sales as far as growth rate. And we have the Chicago PMI that will come out Friday at 9:45. But besides that, there's the 2, 5, and 7 year Treasury auctions on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And other than that, it's really going to be should be from an economic announcement perspective anyway, a quiet week. We have not had many quiet weeks lately. Expect volatility to continue.
One of the things we're hearing here at the conference is the anticipation, Joe, of increased volatility because of the markets that we're in. Are you seeing any evidence of that volatility other than we've just had some wonderful downside in the markets just recently here?
Well,
as you said,
those down movements have been anything but straight. I mean, we've had a number of midday price changes throughout, and some days multiple midday price changes as a result of market movement, both up and down. Net effect of the movements have been down, which is good for mortgage rates and good for the activity. But you know, when you have uncertainty and like we have now, especially as it relates to the European debt situation, all it takes is a little bit of a momentum one way or the other, and people start reacting to it. It's not like it's a fundamental situation that's causing mortgage rates to move. It's more perception. And that's what's creating the volatility, and until things settle down, we get through the European crisis, we start figuring out how much impact the financial reform bill is going to have on the markets. I think that we'll continue to see that kind of volatility.
Well, that's what we're hearing here at the conference. And, Joe, thank you so much for bringing the update as you do each and every week. I want to give everyone just a kind of a flavor. As if you were standing here, you'd be seeing the conference, the exhibit hall, just got some great activity. There's the last two conferences I've been attending. The last week is the Texas Mortgage Bankers Conference in San Antonio, Texas, was probably one of the best attended conferences. Everyone around here, there's a lot of activity. The attendance is over 1,000 some people at the conference, which is off from the normal, but you cannot believe the lobby is full, which means there's a lot of the folks that are hover around the conferences that are probably not registered. So good attendance, good overall attitudes. And, Joe, thank you so much. We're going to be right back after this break. And remember, we're broadcasting live from the MBA's National Secondary Marketing Conference here in New York City. And we're going to have as guests Ralph Armenta of PMI. Very excited. We're in the booth, Loan Sifter's booth, in booth number, I think it's 138. Come on by. We'd love to have you come by if you're listening to the program. And stop in. We are going to be taking a quick break. We'll be right back after this word.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS QuoteLine delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS QuoteLine, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS QuoteLine today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Hey, everybody. Good to have you back. This is Dave Lickin. We're back live from the MBA Mortgage Banking Conference, and we are excited to have you here. By the way, Alice Alvey is attending a conference that's just adjacent to this conference. It is having to do with, I believe, the government conferences, if I'm not mistaken. But she, because she's here, she was just stopped by the booth. She wants to say hi all to all you listeners. But because she's here and not able to necessarily be here and deliver the comments live, she has a conflict on her schedule, we have pre-recorded the legislative update segment. So stay tuned. Here is Alice's pre-recorded comments about what's going on.
Hi, everyone.
In the
this is Alice Alvey coming to you from a recording being made on Saturday, because on Monday I am at the Mortgage Bankers Association Government Housing Conference, and I am conducting a panel discussion on FHA condominiums. We're fortunate to have on the panel a couple of lenders as well as someone from HUD who's going to help the audience understand FHA condominiums, which we all know is such a great and easy topic these days. So I'm excited for that session. I wish I could be with you live, but here's the latest. We do know, as many of you know, that Senate Bill 3217 passed. Now, what does that mean? It now means that this bill has to go get reconciled with the House bill that passed. We've got to put together the differences between these two. The main things I want to focus on right now are just the three top areas we have been tracking for you. First of all is this idea of a Consumer Financial Protection Agency, or Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection. this entity under the Senate version would be within the Federal Reserve System. In the House version, that entity would stand alone. Now, which is better for us? I'm not quite sure. At the end of the day, we end up with a new entity who's going to come in our doors and potentially conduct an audit, and we're not quite sure even what they're going to be looking for. They're looking out for the consumer, which is a great thing, and I think that maybe if you're in compliance, there isn't going to be anything new, and should be fine, but we have yet to see what is it that this agency is going to do. Certainly, it appears that their initial focus is going to be very product-based, that the types of products and the underwriting that we're applying on loans always make sure that the customer has the ability to repay. So we'll be watching to see what this bureau's ultimate procedures are as that unfolds. But we're definitely going to end up with one, that's for sure. The second piece, which Glenn Corso talked about in previous shows, if you can listen to last week's show, you'll be able to get all the details on the risk retention. So both bills have that anyone selling a security would have to retain up to 5% capital to offset the risk, or you know, basically have skin in the game for the fact that you're involved in a security. Well, in the Senate version, we got a lot of detail to help exclude loans that meet standard Fannie, Freddie, FHA guidelines. That was huge. It'll be a big relief to the industry if we're able to make sure that at least our generic A paper and FHA, VA, RD loans won't have to have this capital set aside. So that was a big coup to be able to get that exclusion in the capital retention. Now, the House bill doesn't have all that detail, but it certainly is a part of the legislation that makes a lot of sense, has a lot of support behind it. So we'll anxiously await and hope that it still stays with the new version that goes to the president out of committee. And then the third piece that is big within this bill is the loan officer compensation. And it was in both bills very clear that a loan officer cannot be compensated based on the interest rate of the loan. You can be compensated based on loan amount, based on the number of units that you close. But this idea of I get paid more if I give the customer a higher interest rate, that is going to be gone because it's in both bills and it will definitely survive committee, I'm assuming. So that's the big update on the Senate and House bill. Now we're waiting for a final version to make its way through committee and see what we end up with in the next couple of weeks on what, and maybe even faster than that on the bill that's going to end up on the president's desk. We have quite a few other bills that we're watching. I guess most importantly is I want to give you a quick update on FHA lender approvals. So May 20th, last week at this point, May 20th was the date that FHA is going to stop accepting new applications for loan correspondent level approvals. The September 20th date was talked about in a couple of presentations done by various entities, including HUD. September 20th is the effective date when, if you're not a mortgagee, but you can be sponsored by a mortgagee in a sense, you have a mortgagee that you can send applications to under their approval process, you could begin taking FHA applications even though you didn't have your own approval. Certainly you have to have a proper contract, wholesale, or correspondent type relationship with an FHA approved mortgagee. And as a mortgagee, you're now going to need to move forward with your direct endorsement underwriting approval. I think in the past there were some entities that held on to a mortgagee approval but didn't proceed with actually gaining DE authority. There can be some common sense reasons as to why you may not be able to do that right away, or you have a gap in having a DE, but you certainly can't run the long term without a DE underwriter as a course or plan of business. So more to be learned on the lender approval. We are supposed to be getting a mortgagee letter out on that coming up shortly. Nothing new on the SAFE Act at this point, and nothing new on any of the other bills that we have been watching for you in the past. So I'm going to close out this segment at the moment. We'll be giving you more updates next week. I'm sure the group wants to get talking about everything within that Senate bill and an FHA update. Oh, and before I go, you know, we're always so busy here tracking legislation that Andy actually found a very important piece of legislation that has nothing to do with mortgages other than alcohol. And we have this HR Bill 5034 that is, it's short, And when you read it, you go, what the heck is this thing saying? But the consequences of this bill are going to hurt small wineries. I'm going to let Andy give you a quick little update here on what's in that bill.
House Resolution 5034 is a contemptible piece of special interest legislation that will harm small family wineries. It will harm specialty wine stores. It will definitely kill jobs. And it will prevent consumers from legally accessing wines that they cannot find locally by leading to bans on the direct shipment of wine, which we already know is very legal and well regulated. This will take the choice away from you, the consumer, and give it to the beer wholesalers. Protect your small businesses and local wineries in these tough times, and get educated at StopHR5034.org. They give you all the information you need to act swiftly, get your voice heard, and with minimal effort.
Good.
At StopHR5034.org. Back to you, Dave.
Well, you know what? We have a sense of humor around here because everyone in mortgage banking may be just drinking a little bit more than they normally would be. So, Andy, thank you for slipping that one in. Again, folks, we're broadcasting live from the MBA Mortgage Banking Conference here in New York City. And we have got just some exciting information, kind of flavor what's going on. We got a number of guests lined up. We have the president of Loan Sifter Booth going to be coming in and be visiting with us. But next after the break, we'll be having Ralph Armenta of with PMI giving us an update on everything that's going on here at the conference. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lincoln.
Good to have you back, and we're back live from the MBA. And we have standing right here, amongst so many people, and a sea of people standing here at the conference, we have Ralph Armenta. I'm excited to be having the opportunity to introduce Ralph for a number of reasons. Number one, this has got to be one of the most persistent, just stay on an issue guys you could ever hope to meet. So many excellent professionals there at PMI, but I'll tell you what's so fun about having Ralph here in the midst is he championed becoming a sponsor of our radio program. We're thrilled to have you here, Ralph. What do you say? What's going on here at the conference, Ralph?
David, this conference, I think, is probably the one I've been to the most. It has really been incredible. There's a lot of people here with a bounce in their step. People are talking about deals. People are talking about the private MBS market coming back, maybe not anytime soon, but at least coming back.
But just the fact that we got some talk about the MBS market, that is probably one of the most exciting things. Expand on that a little bit.
Well, I think that what we're seeing is the opportunity for this market to come back. People are starting to look at the pricing mechanisms. They're talking about the risk mechanisms. And, of course, you know, the Redwood deal that got done is a great showing of how resilient mortgage bankers can be. And while we're clearly not out of the woods yet by any stretch of the imagination, it looks like we're starting to inch our way back.
You know, Ralph, I'm looking around the conference as I stand here, and there's a lot of smiles. There seems to be a general optimism, upbeat, that we really might be actually coming out of this probably one of the most scary times of our industry, especially with Senate Bill 3217 that has been out there and just threatening our industry as it is. We talk about it all the time on this program. Give us a flavor of the conversations you're having with people. Tell me a little bit about what are you hearing as far as their attitudes. I mean, are they infighting? Is there fear, or is there just a lot of optimism?
Well, I think there's optimism. I think people are banding together. I think it's not about how much money I get to make in the short run, but people are really looking at the long run. And whether you're talking about the small mortgage banker, the medium mortgage banker, or the extremely large mortgage banker, everybody is looking at how to positively rehabilitate our business. Hey, look, there's Mike Carrier from the NBA.
Boy, I tell you, what an honor to get the NBA Mike Carrier to stop on in. Mike, thank you so much for coming by the booth. Appreciate it.
Great to meet you. Boy, it's an exciting conference I've been to. I think this is my third one, and this is probably the most active and really fun conference to be at.
You know, Mike, it's so important that the NBA has these conferences, and it draws people back and gets us back into it. If there was ever a time, it is important to get involved in the conferences that the NBA is setting up. This is the time. Tell us what's going on about the conference, some of the sessions that are going on. If you could give us some insights to those, that'd be great.
Sure. Well, there's something for everybody, really. We had earlier this morning, FHA Commissioner Dave Stevens, Ginny Mae, President Ted Tozer, several other executives from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac just sitting around roundtable style talking about what the future of the secondary market's going to be like. And later on today, there'll be a workshop on buying and selling distressed assets, kind of best practices in that area. And, you know, in addition to the workshops and general sessions, there's kind of behind the scenes or after hours types of fun activities with, dinners and receptions and really just a great opportunity for networking. So learning and networking is a lot of stuff going on.
I tell you, if you want to know about networking, you got to sit in the lobby. You look at what people are walking through and looking at the booths, and there's a good attendance. The vendors that are here are getting good feedback on the booths and that traffic that's coming through here. But what's so exciting is the network things that you can accomplish here. So a lot of people say, man, I don't know if I can afford to go. You can't afford not to be at these conferences, folks. It is so important. What are some of the other conferences that are coming up on the agenda that people need to know about?
Well, later on today, there'll be this workshop discussion on this new model loan sale and servicing agreement, something that Ralph Armenta, I saw him here at the booth. He had just talked about or is about to talk about to the group on this standard model loan sale and servicing agreement that we're hoping will be the industry standard, the gold standard, if you will, for all mortgage transactions going forward. I don't know, Ralph, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, thank you, Mike. Yes, a year ago, we decided through the Secondary and Capital Markets Committee of the MBA to forge ahead and to try to work on some of the securitization and whole loan sale aspects of liquidity. And the committee was represented by some of the largest, medium-sized, and smallest mortgage banks. And together, as a group and as a committee, we worked, quite honestly, very tirelessly for a year to develop a model mortgage loan purchase and sale agreement. It's the type of agreement that will dovetail with the efforts of the American Securitization Forum and Project Restart. And so it was very much an industry-wide endeavor that brought similar groups and opposing groups together, including investors and things of that sort. So we're excited about it. It's the way that we begin to grow out of this situation. And while we're clearly not out of the woods yet, we are making some very good progress. And I think people are excited. People have a bounce in their step, and they're looking forward to what the second quarter will reflect in terms of some of the numbers and how we're going to look by year end.
You know, Ralph, your session is going to be at what time today?
It's at 3:30 this afternoon. We have five great panelists, and I would quite frankly be very remiss if I did not at least give a tremendous amount of notoriety to the Deckert Law Firm, LLP. Steve Molitor and Molly Light were the two lawyers that provided their services to the MBA and to our committee pro bono. They are just great people, great and knowledgeable. And without them, I think that we would not have made the progress that we did.
Who else? Give us a little insight. Who else is on the panel?
Larry Rubenstein, who is the general counsel for Wells Fargo Home Finance. Dan Anacall from Chase Home Finance. We have Amy Creason from SunTrust on the panel as well. And Steve Molitor.
We got Steve on. That's good. Mike, give us, again, run through some of the sessions, and then how can people, I know I'm going to get a lot of emails. We've got people listening from all over the country, Mike, of everything that's going on, and I want to get people excited to start attending more MBA conferences. And what I want to do is give us a little bit of a flavor of some of the other sessions that are going to be going on that might be interest and draw people to the next conference.
Right. So we've got a town hall session later on today on the future of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. It would be a where MBA is presenting their model document for what we think should happen once the GSEs come out of receivership. We've got buying and selling distressed assets. I'm really curious about that one. And also buying and selling standardized product. What's the future of the private label securities market? How, you know, what's it going to take to get that place back into the system? And
And Mike, is there a way of others that are going to be able to download or acquire CDs from this so they can kind of plug into it? Some of them didn't get to come here. I mean, for a lot of a host of reasons.
Right. We'll have check out the MBA's website, MBA.org, and there'll be the we'll post all the presentations. Not sure if there'll be an audio file, but we'll definitely have the PowerPoint presentations and bios of everybody that spoke. So you can sort of get a flavor of it, but the in-person version is much more exciting. So
thank you so much, Mike. Appreciate you stopping by. I know you have such a busy schedule. Really appreciate you being a part of the program. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this break.
PMI Mortgage Insurance Company is the clear choice for your higher LTV conventional borrowers. Unlike FHA, PMI offers a choice of flexible premium plans to fit the individual needs of each borrower, from a one-time upfront cost with no renewal premium to a monthly plan with no upfront charges. PMI's premium plans recognize larger down payment and good credit history, saving your clients what can at times be thousands of dollars. PMI also provides lenders with fast electronic submission tools to increase efficiencies. Mortgage insurance is more relevant than ever, so it's important to utilize a mortgage insurer who's committed to the business for the long term. It is vital that you work with a company whose core competency is credit risk management and bring that wealth of knowledge to your firm. At PMI, mortgage insurance is their only business, so they have to get it right. PMI's mission is to create sustainable homeownership opportunities. To learn more about how PMI solutions can assist your business, please contact your PMI representative today or call 800-966-4PMI, 800-966-4PMI.
Hey, everybody. So good to have you be coming to you live from the Secretary Conference. And as I was exiting to a break, Joe, you started asking a question. I was able to hold on to Mike and not let him run away. Do you have a question?
Well, I wanted to know if there was a link to that sample purchase and sale agreement that we could provide people. That might be of great interest to a lot of people.
Yeah, Mike, the question is there a link to the purchase and sale agreement that might be out? Is there any links or any of that information?
Yes, it's we have a link on our website, mba.org, and you can look and you can do a search there for the model loan sale and servicing agreement. There's a website. We have the original document up there, and since it's a living, breathing document, any type of updates to it as it evolves and to meet our business needs, we'll have future documents posted up there too. So you go onto the MBA website, and there'll be a link there.
Yeah, let's give that website. Most people should have that bookmarked, but let's just in case give that website one more time.
www.mba.org.
Great. Thank you, Mike, again, for sticking around. I know you have a busy schedule. Ralph, do you have any parting comments just before you take off? I know you've got a full schedule. He says he's good. That's good. We've got Ryan right here with Loan Sifter, who is going to give us a quick report on what's going on. What's the flavor of everything going on around you, Ryan?
You know, it's pretty exciting. You know, over the last couple of years, you know, you've kind of seen things kind of mix up and a variety of different things at these shows. And I've really encouraged by a lot of the traffic and a lot of the excitement within the industry's had and just talking to people and interacting with them. It's been great.
So we're sitting here right in the, as we come in the main call, you got a great location with your booth, Ryan. So that's great. Tell us a little bit about Loan Sifter. What is the Loan Sifter products? You might as well get a chance. You got a microphone here. Talk to the nation. Tell everyone quickly. Give a real quick soundbite. What's going on?
Sure. You know, Loan Sifter has a lot of great things going on. We just launched our banking platform, which has been really exciting to have. We launched a e-originations product. It really allows consumers, you know, the consumer market's really changed. The borrowers expect a lot more. They're more informed, and we just launched a product that allows them to come in, price out their own products, essentially apply for that loan directly online, and we kind of offer that to bankers.
That's great. That's great. Folks, if you want to come by, what booth number are we in?
We're in 138.
138. If you're here at the conference, you can come on by. I want to thank you so much, Ryan, for letting me stand at your booth and broadcast live. Folks, stop by and see Loan Sifter. If you want to go on there, what's your website?
It's www.loansifter.com.
Fantastic. We'll get some people to go check it out. Ryan, thank you so much. Also today on the program, we've got Tony Gallegos, who is a part of Mortgage U and just does an outstanding job of, and you know what, one thing about Tony, he is just so bashful. He is just so shy, because once he gets a hold of this mic, this new Tony shows up. He's not shy, folks. He is actually one of the guys that does a lot about with what's going on and knows so much and supports Alice and that wonderful group there at Mortgage U. Tony, welcome to the program.
Thanks for inviting me. And Dave, I'm just as shy as you.
You're also shy as me. Yeah, a couple shy folks here just hanging out together. Tell me about what's going on. We've been hearing a little bit about 3217. There's a lot happened this last week. Alice got into it. Do you want to add some more color to it?
Yes, absolutely. You know, Alice really covered the high points that were involved with it. What I'm going to try to do is get into some of the nuances, and I know there's going to be a lot of discussion about it. That, you know, as we know, last Thursday, Senate Bill 3217, the financial reform bill, did pass the Senate. Mainly what is of interest, it did pass 59-32. It really went mainly by partisan vote. There were four Republicans.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Although there was some crossover, interesting. Is there any commentary, do you think, as a result of that? I mean, Joe and I are there in a, you know, pretty conservative couple of guys, and we saw a number of Republicans cross over and seemed to vote for that. Am I correct in that, or I was reading some reports on the flight into New York, and I picked up on that. Is that accurate?
Yes, it was. You know, and it mainly did follow a partisan vote. However, there were four Republicans that joined the 53 Democrats, and also the two Senate independents also voted for this. And mainly when we're looking at this, the Republican senators that did vote for it were mainly in what you would classify, for lack of a better term, more liberal states, so let's say New Hampshire and the like. So they tended to follow what their constituents or, you know, they tended to vote that way. In addition to that, you know, mainly what's happening, too, is, as we all know, coming up is Barney Frank is going to be heading the reconciliation of these two House bills. And as we know, the first one, the House version, passed in December, and they're going to be mainly working on trying to reconcile what the differences are. And as we know, what this is doing, and it speaks in very broad terms in many different areas, it's setting up new regulatory bodies that restrict the actions of banks. And
that's, yeah. I was going to say, I want to get into the reconciliation after we go to a break here. But Joe, before we go off to a break, Joe, you've been here getting a lot of feedback from your customer base about 3217. Do you got any comments or questions for Tony?
Well, one of the things, I mean, it's likely, I mean, we're going to have a bill. There's no question about that. And it's going to include
Absolutely.
A lot of
that's
the fundamentals
coming.
That we've been talking about. So if you start looking for the silver lining among the provisions, I'd like to ask Tony and you, Dave, and others if maybe somewhere in this definition of a qualified mortgage loan, we don't create a new standard, much like we used to say Fannie and Freddie, but now it's a qualified mortgage loan. I don't know who the qualified mortgage loan police is going to be, who's going to define it is or it isn't.
Yeah,
but it seems like having that definition may be a very powerful tool toward getting back to private securitization, especially on the jumbo market, you know. And somebody's going to say, yes, if you originate loans under this program, it's going to be a qualified mortgage loan, and therefore it might have a more attractive demand for it once the securities are put together. Are you hearing any talk about that, or is am I off base?
Yeah, you know what? We're hearing a lot of question marks coming out. It's kind of like everyone was so relieved there, Joe. It's at least after the people I've talked to here at the conference. Everyone's telling me, I'm relieved this bill passed. I said, you're relieved, but what are you hearing? What are you reading into it? And you start getting into it, and they're going, I'm relieved that the industry hasn't been decimated by this. That's getting the game, the risk retention component, had the threat of literally putting out
of business, thousands and thousands of companies, vast majority of the industry that had to go away. So a lot of people are relieved about that, but they haven't taken the time to really digest what is it with this definition. And I start delving into this. I'm going to go to you, Tony, on this. A lot of people are going, how much can you play with that? How can you, you know, move the definition to our detriment? Any feeling on that, Tony?
You know, really, the main thing that I'm hearing, and I'm sure it's the same thing that you are, is when they're talking about that, for what that definition is, they really want to move away from Alt-A or no doc type of loan and keep these loan programs where they're full doc and really following the fundamentals of risk management. So that's mainly
right.
What I'm hearing, but what that definition is going to be, what they're going to allow. And interest, I'm also hearing a lot of more noise about combining Fannie and Freddie and allowing FHA to take upon many of the responsibility that Fannie Freddie had before with affordable home lending. So there's a lot of noise going on. There's a lot of generalities involved with it. And I think we're going to have to wait and see what's going on.
Yeah, I tell you, one of the things that's interesting is the most notable Republicans that stood up is both Senator McCain and Orrin Hatch stood up and were commenting about I believe it was Hatch. Who was it? Was it Joe? Fill me in on this, or Joe or Tony? I know Senator McCain. I thought it was Hatch that stood up, but some of the others stood up and said, "You know what? We have not dealt with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in this bill." There is a general feeling here, at least that's what I'm picking up when I talk to the participants. I'm not sure if that represents the MBA's position, is we've got to get this moved back into a quasi-private sector, at least closed. But there's more of them say get it away from the hands of the government. There's a general overall concern that the government's hands in this is not going to be good for our industry because they can redefine what products are acceptable, which products are not, and effectively impact and legislate administratively from the floor and begin to through the head. By the way, folks, I'm just got a little distracted. I've got so many people stopping by waving as we broadcast live here. I'll look forward to talking more about this. Tony, Joe, stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this break.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry. Whether you need a new warehouse line or making the transition from broker to banker, are interested in mergers and acquisitions, or anything in between, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit, broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs. If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Hey, everybody. Good to have you back with us. I'm live from the Mortgage Banking Secondary Marketing Conference here in New York City. It is good to be sitting here and seeing so many friendly faces as they walk up and wave and stick their hand in front of me as I'm trying to do a broadcast live. It's good to do it live, but it does have a little distraction to it. Just as we went to that break, Joe and Tony, we were talking about Senate Bill 3217, and now I want to get to kind of guide the discussion more into what does the reconciliation, is there any way we can get any insights into the reconciliation of the House and the Senate bill?
Well, as I indicated before, House Financial Services Chairman Barney Frank is going to be leading the negotiations, and what he stated is, from what we're hearing, is he wants to have this compromise package completed by the end of June. So that means there's going to have to be some very aggressive action. As we've seen this year, they've been fairly successful with the majority in the Senate and the House at getting this resolute. I have been hearing from some of my contacts that they have been aggressively working on getting many of these points really figured out. And from what I'm hearing is it does look realistic that it will be completed by the end of June and July. What
that's,
the final
that's
version
very-
has to be, we don't know yet.
Yeah, Tony, that's very aggressive, as you know. There was a pretty good disparity between the House and the Senate bill, whether or not there were some amendments that were added in the Senate bill that weren't even considered in the House bill. Any feel on that?
Right. And when it originally went through the House version, there were many types of amendments that they did not feel were going to be realistic. And as you stated, there were many different amendments. One for compensation or loan officer compensation, and Alice spoke briefly on that. In addition to that, really, some of the main differences from a regulatory perspective is the House is really looking for an independent type of regulator, whereas the Senate version is looking more as having a regulator under the Federal Reserve, with them making the rules. In addition to that, being able to go into the larger banking institutions and say, you know what, they're causing a broad overall risk to the economy, and it doesn't really spell out exactly how it's going to be done. There is some more specifics in the Senate version, but there's a lot of generalities, and just as you indicated, there's some concern on how that's going to be mandated and regulated.
There's no question. Joe, you have any flavor or any predictions on how what is going to be in or out of the final version?
Well, I'll tell you, I was at the Texas Mortgage Bankers Conference, as you were, Dave, and John Corson, the head of the MBA, made a comment that we are entering a brave new world as it relates to mortgage loan compensation.
That's a positive spin on a very scary situation, a brave new world.
Well, he points to the fact that both the Senate bill and the House bill have loan officer compensation in it in a similar fashion. And the Fed, in fact, in their proposed changes, that rule that's under has had a comment period expire, and we've not yet seen anything come from that. But it too had loan officer compensation restrictions in it, and so I think without a doubt, we all need to anticipate that's going to be in the final version, and then. Determine how the industry is going to react to it. I think that we'd all be shocked. I'd be shocked if at this point the qualified mortgage loan definition and the exclusion of those types of loans being not being calculated in the 5% risk retention will be likely. The concerns that Glenn Corso has raised along the way, initially when it was on all loans, was that 5% risk is just very poorly defined. And so I hope that we'll get a little clarity.
That's part of this whole thing.
Yeah, we need some clarity that says, who's to retain it? How are they to retain it? Is it in cash? And the bottom line is the cost differential in making a loan that has that 5% risk retention is going to be so much greater than those that do not. I just don't see having any loans that are made that don't meet the qualified.
One thing we know, Joe, we're going to stay on top of it. And if people will stay tuned to our broadcast and tune in as they do each week, we are going to be able to digest this thing. We're going to be staying on top of this issue, folks. There is no question that we are going to be staying there, and we're getting so close, so much closer to those that are making the decisions, that are making the calls. Our one of the segments I hope to have is the news before the news. I want to take a quick break and let everyone know that we have now, and I'm proud to say that we have Delmar Data Track, is their new name, is also a proud sponsor of the program. We're so excited to have them. Others of you that are interested in becoming sponsors, get a hold of me. I'd love to visit with you. But I want to put in a word for Rob Katz and the folks there at Delmar Data Track. We had hoped to be able to run a segment. Rob is going to be producing, Rob Katz, the president of Delmar Data Track, DMD, is going to be producing every week an update of the news that we can't possibly get to everything in the hour program that we have here, folks. So Rob is going to be producing a product that will be aired every week. It's a pre-recorded segment of all the things we couldn't get to, but is noteworthy that should be brought out. We're excited to announce the fact that we have DMD, Delmar Data Track, as a new sponsor. That's exciting. Also, I want to say thank you so much to Andy Elvey, who's just done such a great job as the producer of this program all over this time. Works with me. You folks can quickly figure out I am not a professional talk show host, but I do see an opportunity to bring current relevant information
to the industry and do so in a way that is innovative and impacting and on top of it right to the latest minute. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this break.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Schrott can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Schrott has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Schrott can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Schrott represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Schrott today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Schrott, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
Well, we need to do a slight modification. We're not broadcasting live from Austin, Texas this week. We're broadcasting live from New York City. That's right. Here at the National Secondary Marketing Conference put on by the NBA, which we're so grateful for. And wandering by the booth is this smiling guy with big black glasses, Dennis Bogg, Senior Vice President, Head of Business Development. Dennis, thank you so much for willing to give me a few comments live of what's going on. What's the flavor that you're seeing here at the conference? So welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, David. I didn't expect to be in a radio broadcast today, but it's always nice to join you.
Head of Business Development, he's never going to turn away a microphone. By the way, he's with Calix, if we didn't see that. Say, well, give us a little background. Give us an update on all that's going on with your company.
Well, as you know, we're going along with everybody else trying to figure out what's happening, especially with regulatory changes happening just about every day and watching the television and so on. But, you know, our job over the last, you know, few years, of course, has been to transform ourselves from being a POS software, which we were for years and years, into being a full banking system.
We've all heard about good reports. You have probably the largest, most enviable install base that any vendor in this room would just kill to have. So, Dennis, you've obviously done a heck of a job over the years. Congratulations on that. And then it'd be interesting. Talk about not only what's going on there with Calix Point, but also the transition you see going on in technology. Give a technology update.
Well, I think what we're going to see is, and we have seen already, a consolidation of the industry among players. There's no doubt about it. But the other part, as I was talking with a technology vendor, not to be mentioned here today, is that it's going to become more of a network in the sense that data is simply going to flow from one end to the other, along with all the fraud checks and all the things we need to make sure that quality loans are being built. But you're going to see that, and I think you're going to find players. And that's what I'm seeing is during this, quote, downtime, I've never seen so much activity going on with technology players because everybody's trying to bring the solutions to market. So what we're going to see is it doesn't matter whether there's a TPO channel, which everybody says is dead, which I see not to be true. And especially if quality can be built, I guarantee that whether it's TPO or original, lended by retail, it's still the same quality.
You know what is so encouraging to so many people out there that are listening, and we got literally listeners all over the whole country involved in this. I think we're up to over 8,000 listeners have listened to our program and are tuning in on some regularity and downloading it. A number of them, Dennis, are brokers, and a number of them are smaller companies that may be mortgage bankers, but do broker a percentage of that business. It is so vital that to the last cycle has been, what has been so vital last business cycle is the TPO business, the third-party originated product. So give us reason for your optimism for that. That's so got to be encouraging.
I mean, the reason that I say it is because I see people that are opening wholesale channels. Now, everybody's supposed to be going away from that. Quicken Loans is getting ready to open a wholesale channel. They've been a retail lender. They're getting ready to go to wholesale. Why? Because there's a need for it.
There's no question there's a need for it. The need that has been there. And the question is, do you see some of the regulatory environment, which you talked about earlier, coming in and doing something to potentially tear apart those initiatives?
I think that there is a definite risk. And the other question is how much money can be made in the broker channel. So those are going to be the questions. I think it's a topsy-turvy situation right now, but I do see that there's a need there. Folks, you're getting it live from Dennis Boggs, the Senior Vice President of Calix, who has been so dynamic in getting his product installed in so many shops. Almost all of you use, so many of your users out there have been using your software, Dennis. I'm just thrilled. Do you have anything you want to say? What's the general mood of the industry, too? No.
Well, the one thing I'd like to say is that what's happened is because we were POS software, we built in all these banker screens in the last few years, and what we're finding is lenders who've been using us for years because we had the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac connection and the credit and all those connections and the ability to do phenomenal you can't tear our software out of a loan originator's hands, so there's not a problem there. But the question is, if we go out to shops and they're still using our software with an Excel spreadsheet, even though we built the entire banker functionality in the software. So our biggest job right now is to actually get back out to the banks who have our software and tell them what they own and show them how to use what they have.
That's
our challenge.
That is a bit of a challenge because everyone has locked you in a box and try to keep you there. That's always a challenge as you try to grow and rebrand yourself or expand the brand a bit. Let's talk about briefly, we have how many minutes do we have left on our – we are looking at a very about 9 minutes. What is your flavor? I want to get your take on the flavor of the whole conference, positive, upbeat, otherwise.
Well, I tell you, I would take this back to the conference before this in Chicago, because the conference we had about a little over a month ago in Chicago, everybody was quite surprised. Every single vendor that I saw was quite surprised at actually the amount of activity taking place. Previous to that, the Mortgage Technology Show, they thought it was dead. They thought it was the last one, and they seemed to revive it. But strangely enough, it was a very busy show in Chicago. And I see that here. Actually, I think I saw more activity in Chicago than I saw here. But I've been kind of locked down, so I'm not the best person to take the temperature here just yet.
Well, we thank you so much, Dennis, for swinging by and being a part of the program. I know we pulled that one on you here, but folks, we're just honored to have Dennis Boggs, Senior Vice President of Calix Software, being with us. Folks, what is going on? Tony, we want to get into it. Just a few minutes. You want to go into FHA, one of the updates, some of the things. I know we have some things we want to talk about.
Yes, I think the main thing of importance from FHA is the just the switch in product. And I did mention what was going on with the talk with combining Fannie and Freddie and going back to what Joe was saying, possibly making them more private. But what I'm hearing a lot is that the reason for that is that there's a lot of duplication going on with the federal mandates for providing home ownership accessible to low and moderate incomes. And what a lot of this talk is about is positioning to reduce the government spending and the duplicated efforts by FHA, because they believe that FHA is already serving that purpose. However, there is some difficulty with that. And as we've heard really lately going on, especially from Commissioner Stevens addressing the Senate recently, talking about after the subprime market crashed in 2007, there was a substantial increase in the FHA loans. And it went from under, 5% up to 30% to where it is currently right now. And what has happened, they feel that because of this, there were a lot of lenders that were inexperienced doing FHA loans. They applied Alt-A type of credit underlines, and this has really stressed the funds. So what the talk is how do they improve the quality of FHA loans? And what FHA is saying is, and we really must say this, it's not only with execution, which it was in the past. What that means is saying if you executed properly according to guidelines, you were covered by insurance. But what we're finding out more and more, FHA is using HUD Neighborhood Watch or the compare ratio for measuring or the major metric. So you can execute perfectly on the loan. And, Dave, we've all had clients where they execute it well. However, their compare ratio was high, whereas in the past that may have been appropriate. You also have to mitigate those risks, saying that, you know what, you have an adequate compare ratio and also execute well. And as well as we know, because of the fund, they are pushing back more. In addition to that, previous to this, the Mortgage Review Board was only meeting once a quarter, and now they're up to twice a month. So there is increased activity going on with the Mortgage Review Board. There are six times as many lenders that have had their lender status pulled because of the type of issues that we have been talking about in previous shows. So I would say from an FHA perspective, that's the main thing that we're looking at.
Well, we're going to be featuring this, folks, as listeners, as you're out there listening and saying what's coming up on this program. We're going to be talking a lot throughout this whole week. This whole month. This week is here at the conference, but this next month we're going to be visiting on the topic of FHA. Tony, we're going to have you back a lot on these things. Is there anything that is critical that our listeners get
as once developed, to recent developed, recent announcements that have come out that we should get out to our listeners?
You know, the main thing, as I was talking about, HUD is really pushing back so they can push, trying to get passage through Congress, saying that they can push back with the lender. So FHA, HUD, and plus any of the agencies are really pushing back for buybacks, that the lender has ultimate responsibility. And as Alice spoke about earlier, about the approval process and the increased net worth requirements. So that's a whole show in itself. I know we're going to be speaking about that. But again, as lenders, their quality is very important, and also looking at the quality and the default rates of the loans that you're doing.
Well, you know what? We're going to be talking again, listeners, throughout the rest of this month, in the month of June, about the important topic of FHA, what is going on there. These are programs. We're also going to be bringing you updates and hoping to have some special guests come in related to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. You're going to want to stay tuned to all that we've got coming up here. Again, what is the purpose of this program? This program, Lickin' and Lending, is not to try to do anything more than come have a one-place, one-stop place you can come and listen to and digest all that's critically going on in the industry. We want, and we have a team. I mean, I gotta tell you, you should see the team of people that are combing through all the journals, all the blogs, everything to catch what is critical and important. What we do is digest what's out there to bring to you what is really current, relevant, and critical to the way you run your business or the way you go about your business. Folks, we are just so thrilled. And again, we're broadcasting live from New York City, the National Mortgage Banking Conference here that the MBA has put up in the Hilton. If you are here, we're blessed and very fortunate to be in Loan Sifters booth. We're grateful to have them host this show and allow us to be in their booth. We've had so many people. Thank you to everyone who is listening and downloading this program, to stop by, waved, and given me a great distraction. It's so good. The nice thing about these conferences is you get to see people you haven't seen in a long time. Joe, you and I were both down in San Antonio last week, and you know the benefits of these conferences just can't be understated. It is, I mean, or overstated. They can be understated. You don't want to overstate the importance of being here is what I'm trying to say, folks. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in this week. We're thrilled, and I want to say a special thank you again to Ralph Armenta of PMI and his comments on what's going on for making the whole sponsorship of PMI possible. A special thank you to Rob Katz, who has just joined us, one of our sponsors for DMD, Del Mar Data Track. We're excited to be bringing you this broadcast each week. You stay tuned. We're going to be back next week. Thank you so much. Have a great week, everybody.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. On the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.